This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast.
Guys, Easter is just around the corner, and I can't think of a better gift that you can give the kids in your life than Jenny's 5-book set called The Story of God. And what is really special is just for this Easter season, we have partnered with Dayspring to bring you the ultimate Easter bundle. So you get the 5-book set in the beautiful keepsake box, and you get a whole set of memory verse stickers and temporary tattoos from our friends at Dwell. So this bundle is worth over $100. And right now for the Easter season, you can get it for $44.99. This Easter, you can bring Bible stories alive for kids with this sweet gift set. This is the perfect gift for new parents, Sunday school teachers, and any child in your life. This Easter bundle is available on Dayspring from March 12th to March 21st. So make sure to go and click the link in the show notes, or go to jennyallen.com and you can find the link there. We want to help you disciple the kids in your life, just on the go in everyday conversations, and nurture their faith with gifts that really matter. You can also go to dayspring.com and search Story of God, or as always, go to jennyallen.com and you can find all the info there. What a special, meaningful gift to give this Easter.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. This is Jenny Allen and Kate Summers, my daughter. And we are
my mom
here talking about Untangle Your Emotions. And we're so glad you're here. And this week we are talking about Created to Connect. If you're following along with us at the book, which I strongly suggest you do, we are on chapter 6. And I love that this week, last week was kind of a mess talking about controlling and coping.
It was a bummer. You know?
Yeah, it was kind of all the negative
things we're bad at.
Yeah, I mean, not that we're bad at them. We just like them. We go to that pretty easily. This week, we're talking about a huge motivation and reason for this process, that we were made to connect, that our emotions, on page 65, I write, our emotions have a purpose, and that purpose is connecting us to God and each other. That is the main purpose of emotions. You think of verses like mourn with those who mourn in the Bible. You think of blessed are those who weep. The reason that those verses are true is because God built our brains in such a way that when we are suffering, we need to connect with other people. We need each other in our suffering. Most trauma comes from being alone in suffering. That is where it begins. Is if you go through an incredibly difficult thing like the divorce of your parents, and you felt ignored and misunderstood and isolated in that process, that is going to cause more trauma for you than the kid that feels loved and seen and nurtured and understood. That is just from counseling 101. If you are not alone in your trauma, however big or small that trauma is, it is less traumatic. What we want to talk about is just how we connect with each other, because that's the part we're missing. If we're coping, if we're controlling, if we're concealing, that's the part we're missing. We're missing the connection that is possible if we do this. Okay, so I want to start, Kate, with a story.
Oh, no.
About you, because you are so good at this. This is actually one of your strongest things, is you understand, you empathize with someone when they're feeling emotional, and you almost feel it with them. Talk about even just that process, what that feels like, and maybe tell us a story about when that's happened for you, where you experienced deep connection because of emotion.
Well, I think in anything, we can live our lives talking about things that are happening. But I think the thing that stems to connection is when somebody tells you something that's happening, and then you move to how did that make you feel, or like, how did you experience that? Or, man, did that make you sad when blank habit? Like, that is what, like,
yes,
bridges that towards connection, rather than just like, hey, we're just continuously catching up and I'm updated on what's in your life, to meaningful connection. And so, I mean, I think about that with anyone. I had a friend when I was in college that ran a shop in downtown Bryan. And yeah, it just started with that. She was running the shop because her daughter and her husband were overseas, and she was raising money to get them over. We just grew this friendship as, you know, she could have told me that as a fact of like, this is why I'm running the shop. But then you just lean into like, oh, you must miss them. Like, and talking about, her FaceTiming her husband and her little girl's growing up and she's not getting to see her. And, you know, and it just, as you walk with people and you walk with Jesus, your heart just starts to change for people. As you allow people to do that with you, your heart changes.
Right. I mean, that is exactly what we're talking about, is you don't stay on the surface. Like, you ask, I think it's such a simple, clear question to say, how does that make you feel? That is a great activity for everybody to do this week. When you are asking somebody a factual question, whether it is the clerk where you're checking out or whether it is your mother and you're on the phone, how does that make you feel? Use that question a few times this week and see if it doesn't produce answers that make you feel more deeply connected. Mm-hmm. But we're not just talking about connection with each other. That's a huge one.
Yeah.
And I think all of us can tend to lean in when somebody's being vulnerable with us, because it's so rare and it feels so good to hear someone cry and to tell us what's going on in their life, because we feel honored to share that. But being the person to share it, that's
a whole so other different thing.
And you're, both of us struggle with that. Like, just
even though we fill that role for other people a lot, when it turns on us,
right,
it's so uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think that's where I want to challenge everybody, is not just to ask the question, but to answer the question too, and to really put yourself out there, because sometimes you've got to go, I'd say 99% of the time, you've got to go first. You've got to be vulnerable first. I'm going to read out of the book, page 76. Connection is the greatest gift we have in life. Connection to our own selves, connection to each other, and connection with God. And we can't be present with God and others when we're refusing to be present with ourselves. We can't be emotionally healthy if we refuse to be emotionally honest.
That's good.
And that reaction, I mean, to this topic, I mean, when we start to understand, wow, okay, you're right. In the book, I talk about these ropes untangling, and that these very ropes that feel like they're knotting you all up and they're causing so much damage and you're so confused and it feels chaotic and it feels out of your control. Or maybe you just feel so suppressed and anxious and it's coming out sideways. Whatever your ropes are, those ropes are meant to untangle, and they're meant to be points of connection between you and your people and between you and God.
So what does it look like for me? Say I'm stepping into this week and I want to be connected deeper with the people around me, and I want obviously to ask them. But when you say to lead out in that, what's an example of what that looks like?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be awkward. I'm just going to go ahead and set it up for you, because it's only about to get more awkward as we keep going. And don't go anywhere. That doesn't mean you need to run. I know some of you are like, I'm out. This is already awkward enough. I don't want it to get more awkward. But the reality is, this is not the way most people move through life. We're not usually all doing this in a way that is natural. And that's okay. And as I've grown in this, because I mean, I am still like young in my emotional maturity growth, right? So I'm still on the younger end, even though I'm writing books about it. This is when I wrote out of weakness. This is when I wrote out of a place I need to grow. And when I look at my journey, I mean, even writing this book, your dad laughed so hard for the year I've been working on this, because all the time I would tell him everything I felt. Because that was what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was so aware of my feelings because I was thinking about this subject all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I'd come home at the end of the day, I'd be like, I just feel a little sad. And he was like, okay, tell me about that. And he told me, after we'd done this for a while, he was like, you know, Jenny, it was a lot, like you telling me every little feeling you had, because you don't always do that. But he said, I got it. Like, I understood and knew, like, you're in process with this. Like, you're working this out. And I think it's just good to tell the people in our lives, you know what? I want to try to have these conversations with you, but it may be awkward at first. Like, just know I'm reading this book and it's making me do uncomfortable things. And I just want to say this week, like, I'm feeling a little sad and I don't totally know why. And I don't even know totally why I'm telling you this, except this book told me to do so.
Right.
You know, just use me as the excuse. But I think this is the stumbly, awkward way. And you know what? If somebody said that to me, if somebody said, I feel sad, I don't know why, and I don't totally know why I'm telling you, it makes me smile so big, because I would love them for that. Like, I would be like, thank you for sharing
you're
that
dear
with me.
To
and,
that, yeah.
And let's go digging. Let's go fishing and see what we find. And I'd want to ask more questions. So I think you just do it honestly and awkwardly and see what happens.
And I also know it's even more vulnerable giving that when they haven't asked for it, because that part of you feels really, yeah, it's vulnerable. It's weak. And
most people won't ask for it.
Yes. But people still desire it. But the thing I was thinking too was whatever fear you have for how they're going to respond poorly, you can even lead with that. Like, this is nothing to do with how you, like anything that you've done, but my fear is that you would react like this. And it's almost like you can even connect over that because we all have that whenever we go into a vulnerable conversation of a fear of how, it would just be even worse. Like, this is even worse than if I hadn't shared it, if they respond like this.
Just remember, at the core of all of us, all these feelings are there. Mm-hmm. Every human, even if they act like they aren't. Even if you're married to somebody or you were raised by somebody that would say, I don't feel emotions. No, and emotions are bad. And whatever you're around, they are emotional. Mm-hmm. They've maybe stuffed it down so long that they don't know anymore that it's there, but it is there somewhere. Yeah. And so at the core of all of us are these feelings. And so when it's why universally a Super Bowl commercial, a great one, can connect with the entire world because they struck the core thing that is underneath the surface mm-hmm. of all of us. And so when you stumbly do this, especially I would say when we stumbly do this and it's awkward, that alone connects with part of mm-hmm. that in someone else. Now, sometimes it's a ping for them and it doesn't feel good and they'll push it away and they don't react right. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Just try someone else. But I would say bear with one another is a really important scripture that we don't talk about enough. Mm-hmm. What does that verse mean? It means that we stumble together through the mess. We don't run at the first sign of rejection. We lean in and look for why are they pushing this away? Because oftentimes they're pushing it away or they don't know how to respond because it's bringing up something in them. Mm-hmm. And so we have grace. We have grace for ourselves. We have grace for other people. And we lean in. And I think it's a really important thing. I mean, a big part of this chapter is connecting with God as well. It's not just connection. Emotion isn't just meant for connection with other mm-hmm. people. It's a huge gift, but it's also with God. And so I want to close with this, that you were built by God. You were built by God. And you were built by God to contain a desire to have a relationship with God. And the emptiness you feel in your soul, and sometimes the sadness and the anger and the frustration and the fear that you feel, the fear I felt at 7 years old, when I was exposed to my great-grandmother's death for the first time, I'd never been around death. The fear that I felt is I'm going to die alone. But the reality is that I know Jesus. And I know now that when I die, I will move from this earth, alone or not, to my spiritual home with my Father. And that I will not be alone. That death does not equal being alone. And that storyline is so good that it gives us hope now. It gives us peace now, and we can face hard things and we can feel sadness and we can feel the anger because we have a God who can hold us and that can do it with us. But I'll tell you, like my relationship with God, and I'd be curious for you and everybody listening, if it's not true too, my relationship with God largely has been tested and built through fear, sadness, mm-hmm. anger. Like that's when we've gotten so close. And if you look at David, like that was such a central figure for me in the Bible, knowing that I was on the right track because David was a man after God's own heart and he was so emotional. He was mm-hmm. so emotional. He would shake his fist at God and be angry at him. And then in another minute, he would be weeping and lamenting mm-hmm. over his own sin with God. But all of those feelings were prayers. All the Psalms mm-hmm. are largely prayers sung to God. So he's working it out with God with all his big feelings. And I think if I look at my life, that's how it's gone for me. I haven't been afraid to shake my fist at God. I haven't been afraid to beg and cry and ask him to change his mind on something that feels impossible for him to change on. Sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. So I haven't been afraid to just feel with him. And that has, I think, made my relationship with him closer.
Something that I realized recently was Dad is such a great coach and he's so – and but I will say like most of my like – you know, catch up on life, fill in on all the things happens with you. And then he helps me just navigate life and get through all the things. But one thing that I noticed that I was projecting on God from Dad that isn't consistent with God was sometimes Dad is so sweet in that he'll ask me like, he won't know what to ask me. So it was like, how are friends? Like, I just remember like being in the living room with him. We're not hanging. We're not like talking. And he would just out of nowhere like, how are friends? And he knew if he gave me that I would just start going, except that sometimes I would be telling a story and he would just interrupt me and be like, get to the point. Like, he wants me to, like, say, which I think is a lot of how guys work, and it's a good thing. But kind of, like, give – what's the point? Give me the, like, kind of final thing with my story. And I think something I hadn't realized I was doing with God was I was feeling the need to get to the final clear and concise thought. And in the moment that something was happening, I had – it almost like I had convinced myself that I needed to – in that moment, that hope that you're talking about and that truth that I think so often is a good thing that sometimes the church has, like, twisted with how immediately we, like, are supposed to deal with our emotions with God is to, like, immediately tape that truth to it.
Right.
That – and not feel that feeling with God. Like,
right. Don't lament, like, too long, right, or you are hopeless.
It's that, like, you must not get to the God. Point. Like, yeah. Kind of like I have to get to the point before I can do this with God. Otherwise, I'm sinning.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, if I don't go go to this truth immediately, I'm ignoring what God has, like, already given me and the hope that he's already given me. And so it felt wrong to sit with God in that in-between. I think even realizing that was so helpful that it's like, I love Dad, and Dad is so good at so many things, and he's still a person, and there's still things like that that I'm just having to learn and shift from. But the Lord delights just in the fact of me being with him in
the messy middle of
yes,
it.
Realizing that he wants to be with me in that moment when I feel that insecurity and I go upstairs and I have that pit in my stomach and I don't know what to do with it. When I know it's like I'm fearfully and wonderfully, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like to some extent somewhere I learned, like, immediately it's like I'm fearfully and wonderfully. Like, I have to – it's right. Like I know that in my head, and so I'm not going to go with my heart to God in that moment, which I think I'm healing from. I think I'm learning – different way. But I think this, all of this in the book is so helpful for unlearning that, because I think that's a lot of people.
He wants us to connect with him with all the things. He doesn't really have a time limit like your dad.
Well, okay. Another thing, that was a negative thing, but also I think I miss out on so many positive things. Like, I was talking with a friend about a crush that she has recently, and she feels, so this is such a good example. She feels so many uncontrollable emotions about this new crush that she has. And it's such a good thing. We were processing it and she was just being so like, but I know, like, it's been taking up a lot of my thoughts, but like, I kind of like this, as if God needs her to, like, suppress her emotions in order for him to be more God in her life. Like, and like she had to, like, press down those emotions she was feeling for this boy because she should feel all these emotions for God, when really, like, there's a goodness in, like, that infatuation and crush that God designed it as a good thing. And he wants her to go to him with that excitement rather than just, like, separating those two things. Mm. And I feel like that's another, we just talked through that of, like, God's delight in that. And for me, I remember doing that some, and it's something as I, you know, walked in relationship with my now husband that I had to unlearn of. It's not this, like, my feelings towards God, my feelings towards Charlie versus in my mind. Like,
you take all those feelings.
He wants
God.
All of it together. Yes. And so I just think that's another, it's a great example of an uncontrollable emotion that's maybe even a positive emotion that we can judge and feel shame for.
Right.
That
or
God
we can entrust
yes, that,
to God.
Yes. And that God actually is like, I actually want to connect with you more in this. Like, I'm actually sovereign over all of this and I'm in all of it with you.
That's the terrible plan of the enemy with shame. If we're judging something, then we're not taking it to God because we think he's judging it. That's the lie, is we really believe God's judging it and we're judging it and therefore God must be judging it. Mm-hmm. When the reality is, it's like, I made you, kid. I know you.
Yeah.
I put all that inside of you. I just want you to come to me with it. Mm-hmm. And I want you to let me help you with it, whatever comes, whether it's a breakup or whether it's a wedding, right? Like, whatever comes, I want you to walk through it all with me. But you're not going to do that if you think I'm disappointed in you. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to do that if you're ashamed.
Yeah.
And so that shame and that distance that grows because it's from the enemy. And that's why, you know, somebody asked me, why did you write this book? I know you care so much about the next generation and you care so much about revival and all of these big things. And why not write about those things? And I said, because this is the issue of the day. Like, this is the thing they're struggling with. This is the thing I'm struggling with. This is the thing you're struggling with. Everybody is. Mm. So let's do what Jesus did, which was to notice the need that people had. Mm. And let's go to that and then show them how that need does need to be healed. Mm. It needs to be understood. It needs to be broken down. It needs to be wrapped up and bound, whatever it takes to heal that part of them. But it also needs to be taken to God. And mm-hmm. if we are shutting ourselves down and saying these emotions are evil, we're never going to allow it to connect us to God. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what the enemy wants. So this is war. Like, this is mm-hmm. so much bigger than,
yeah,
hope you feel better at the end of this.
Yeah.
Hope you feel happier. It's like, no, this is a pathway of a new way to live. It is connection that God intended, and we are missing it because the enemy has lied to us and made us believe these things are bad. And yet they are good, and they are things to cause us to experience the fullest life that he has for us.
You guys, I have a special request to make, okay? You know on your podcast app where you can leave ratings and reviews on the podcast that you listen to? Well, it is honestly like one of Jenny and I's favorite things. It's one of those ways that we get to know you just a little bit by your reviews and your ratings, and it helps other people find out about the show. So would you go today, and if you've been listening for a while and you're enjoying the show, can you go leave a rating and review? We would so appreciate it, and we're always grateful that you're here. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Made for This podcast.